Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 3. We're going to be discussing tonight how to host an open house, some best strategies that we use at Best Choice Realty, and going over some of the most commonly asked questions when it comes to doing and hosting an open house. So hopefully you brought with you tonight, you have a pen and paper, and you can write down some of these ideas. And if you need further clarification on these things, you can certainly reach back out at me either by email or by phone or giving me a call. My email address is Rochelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, at bestchoicerealtywa.com, or you can call me at the number 206-947-0811. We'll go ahead and end shortly before 6 o'clock tonight. I've got another appointment that I have to go to. But we will cover all of the best practices that I've taken notes on over the last several months in regards to open houses and what's the best strategy. So I'm going to start with number one. Number one is if you're asked to do an open house and one of the things that you may or may not have done before is to make sure that you have enough time to prepare for the open house. It takes sometimes about a week to prepare for an open house if you're going to do a good job. It may be even, if you know you're going to do it, say, not this weekend, but the weekend before, even more preparation, you can have a better attended open house. Anybody can have an open house. You just put the open house in the yard, put a yard sign that says open house, an A-frame in front of the house, and just wait for people to come and see you in the open house. But today's open houses are promoted a lot better, have more people involved, and obviously more people will attend the open house if you do it right. So number one, have enough time to prepare. Also make sure that you've promoted it on the MLS. So once you've decided on the day and the time, make sure that it's on the MLS with the proper day and the time. If you're hosting an open house for another agent in our office, you're going to want to make sure that they have at least done that, because you're missing out on opportunities that get syndicated out to Redfin, John L. Scott, Windermere, all of the big brokerages in our area. If you have not done the MLS, put the date and the time, then it's not going to be broadcast out to all of our cooperative other brokerages that will see your listing. So make sure that's done. Also, make sure that you have Zillow made a change today, in fact, and we have our listings at Best Choice Realty syndicating to Zillow, even with the announcement that was made that says that for the time being you can manually upload your listings to Zillow. We actually have already made an agreement with Zillow, so all of our listings get syndicated to Zillow automatically. However, you still need to be able to go into Zillow's website and edit the date of the open house. You'll want to go ahead and do that because it might not syndicate correctly. I've found a few errors and gaps with that. So make sure that you go to Zillow and update the open house time and date if it's not showing up correctly. Redfin is another highly trafficked website for open houses, and when you see if you don't see your listing as an open house date and time on Redfin's website, that will be a clue to you that the agent hasn't done a good job or you haven't gone into the MLS and indicated the date and the time. Redfin takes their data from the MLS. And so if that's not done correctly, Redfin won't pull that data to their website. Those are two very important websites to promote your website, to promote your open house. The other place that you want to promote your open house is on Facebook. A lot of our agents that do open houses regularly and have very good success with their open houses also promote the listing on their Facebook account. And also their office will promote it on the office account. So don't forget you have two opportunities there to not only post on your Facebook account, but also to put it on our office Facebook business page as well. And that will you can pay, $5 for the weekend up to, I think I've gone up to $10 or $15 for the weekend and had it promoted and boosted so that more people will see it than just your friends. it's not that expensive to do that type of promotion, and it does help in the overall promotion of your open house. So those are some things to think about online about your open house before you even set foot at creating marketing or creating advertising. The next thing you want to think about is, are you going to be doing this yourself, or are you going to involve other people? For people that do a lot of listings or that have a lot of business, sometimes doing an open house is not what they like to do. In fact, what they'd rather do is have somebody do the open house for them. Be sure that you have the approval of the seller before you introduce another agent or another buyer's agent into the equation. The MLS has allowed for that. There is a form that could be filled out to allow for that. But the simple okay from your seller letting them know that, hey, I'm going to have Michelle or Rochelle from the office, from Best Choice Realty, also doing your open house, it would be important for them to know that you have somebody else that will be in their property and that they've okayed that before you have them do the open house for you. We haven't had any problems, but it only takes one seller to be upset because the person that is listing their property is not the person actually hosting the open house. So make sure you have something in writing from your seller that that's okay. The other thing to think about is there going to be enough traffic to warrant a lender to also attend? We have a fantastic lender. In fact, there's three lenders at Greystone Mortgage that have offered to assist us in doing these open houses. And they have their own signage and can also set up people to go set up your signs for you. If you want to take advantage of a lender to also partner with you or co-brand with you on the open house, you can take advantage of some of their resources as well. Greystone Mortgage has their own kit, their own signage kit, and Bay Equity has their own signage kit. And both those companies do an awesome job at co-marketing with you and making sure that you get a lot of eyeballs. They also would post to their Facebook accounts, and they have people they will pay, like high school or college kids, to go and put the signs up in several different strategic locations. So you get a lot of people coming to your open house. I don't know about you, but I've been one to put up, you know, 20, 30 signs, and that will sometimes take me an hour to 2 hours to put the signs up before the open house. So having another set of hands and other resources to help promote your listing might be a good thing, especially if the listing is not deep within the community. Maybe the listing is on a busy road or it's only two or three streets from a busy road. Having, you know, 40, 50 A-frames and signs going up all over the place in that neighborhood will draw a lot of attention to that property that's only a few blocks from the main drag. So think about the lender and the signage that they can support. In our office, we have a kit that you can check out. It encompasses a flag. So it's I think it's like 10 or 15 feet tall flag. And you can easily set it up. Even I can figure out how to set up the sign. And it it's very visible from the main road. So it would draw your attention rather than having something on the ground like an A-frame that just a tent flag is there. This is something that's more higher up, and it's got the ability to kind of sway with the wind. I don't know, you guys have probably seen these around gas stations and things like that. Ours has our own logo and brand, and we have one available in our Tacoma office, and we have one in our Tukwila office, and they're available for checkout when you do open houses. So if your property is in need of one of those, make sure you check that out or at least let us know to reserve it for you. And then we have a lot of open today signage that is not an A-frame, but is just like stuck in the ground with metal stakes, and it makes it easy to put them in and take them down before or after your open house. So easier to drag those around than it is to actually use the A-frames that are wood and that are a little bit cumbersome to put up and take in and out of your car. So that might be something you want to check out as well. Or getting yourself, if you're doing open houses on a regular basis, you know, you may want to order your own kit. It's not that expensive when you think about the marketing exposure you could have for your group or your brand or your name to have open today and have your branding on the signage directing people to the house. where you're going to be sitting, where you're going to be hosting an open house. So think about the signage, and then also think about having a lender support you. And, you know, the lender would attend the entire open house and also be there to answer questions around financing. The lender also has the ability to create, when I have a, create a flyer, and what this lender would do would have, they have a program or they have the ability to quote rates and things like that. And so what I like my lender to do or provide at the open house is a quick flyer. You know, I can give them a sample of the front photo, and then they come up with, you know, how much this property would be, you know, at a 4% interest rate, or with this much money down, or that much money down, and have some scenarios put together so that the prospective purchaser has an idea of what their monthly payment would look like, and, you know, if they would qualify for something like this. So I like to have that available for the, from the lender's standpoint, or have the lender provide that when they're hosting an open house with me. The lender usually has the ability to provide you with demographics. They also have a very, very nice flyer they can provide you with, or talks about the property and talks about the demographics in the area, which also may be nice if you don't create that on your own to have the lender supply that. But that's something to think about, is having the lender support your open house. The lender also, you need to give yourself enough time that you can drive the property or have the lender drive the property so you know how many signs that you'll need. So, you know, some properties you may need 20, 30 signs. Some properties you might need 40 signs. Some properties, you know, the city may only allow you to put up a certain, you know, signs in certain locations. Since you're only doing, you know, a few hours for an open house, you usually don't have the same regulations that you would have in other cities where they, you know, you have to get special permission and things like that. Sometimes you can do tentative temporary signs in that fashion as long as you go and pick them up afterwards. So make sure you know what the regulations are in your city, in your area, in the neighborhood. But map it out ahead of time. Make sure you know how many you need. And I come with the philosophy, I'm not going to do an open house unless it's big, unless it's huge. Meaning I don't want to have to go to all the effort to get signage and get, you know, treats and things like that, or appetizers for something, unless it's going to be big. So plan on having a lot of attendance. In Seattle, for example, a well-attended open house is like 40 or 50 people coming through. That's well attended. If you only had 5 or 6 people coming through, either A, you didn't prepare well enough, or B, the property is not set up well so that you can have a lot of people come through to an open house, or C, you just didn't prepare. I mean, so make sure you spend the time in finding out what is how many people to expect, how many signs to put up, and things like that, so that you can get that kind of attendance at your open house. In areas, in the outlying areas, say in the country, 50 or 60 is probably not a reasonable expectation, but 5 or 7 different clients coming through, that is reasonable if you have promoted it well. If you didn't have anybody come through, then you did something wrong. Something wasn't done right for the open house. And you may want to talk with me one-off about that. But for the most part, if you promote the open house well, you know, you can have at a minimum 7 or 8 different clients coming through, up to 40 or 50 in very desirable, well-attended open house areas of our marketplace. The next thing to think about would be what you do before, the day before, and the day of, either the day before or the day of, around the listing. From your title company, you can get a list of homes that you could promote the listing to. And what I like to do is use it as like a checkoff list and a way for me to follow up before the open house with those property owners, and after the open house with those property owners. So I want the full address and their full names, and I use it as a target list so that I can door knock around the listing and give each of those clients a personal invitation to the open house or a flyer. So again, you have to make sure that your listing is live. If you go live with your listing on Wednesday or Thursday, then you're completely in your right to door knock or market around the listing where you're going to be hosting the open house that weekend. Make sure the listing is live, and then I would have a flyer available to go and door knock around that listing and make it a priority to door knock at least 10 or 20 homes around my listing so that they know about the open house and they know what I'm all about and how motivated I am to make sure that it sells that first weekend. And if they know of anybody or if they're thinking about selling, you know, that I have the ability to talk with these people individually. So make it a priority to do that either the day before or the day of the listing, to door knock around the listing and give them either a personal invitation if you're doing it the day before or to give them a flyer if you're doing it day of so they know about the listing and know what you're doing to help promote the listing. And then after the listing, after the open house, you have all of their information and the door knock information, and you could personally handwrite notes to those property owners, you know, saying, sorry, I missed you. I left something on your doorstep. Please let me know if you have any interest in this listing or if you are looking to sell your property. I've been able to pick up other sellers by doing this strategy and also have, you know, they're impressed because you're taking that initiative to actually send them a mail piece, which they don't often get. So it definitely bodes well for you in expanding your business above and beyond that one listing. That one listing can turn into multiple opportunities for you as long as you're taking action and actually doing some marketing around that listing. The next thing that I like to do would be to get myself prepared for the day of as well. So if I haven't received a home book from the title company or created some sort of information that I could have available at inside the property, I like to go ahead and do that because there are some people that come through the open house and want to see that you've done your homework. So whether it be, I have a couple things I do, either a home book you can get from the title company, which will run you $12 to $15 usually. Usually what this is a binder, very nicely put together binder. The content sometimes, if you look through it, depending on the listing and where it is and what title company you're using, I like some contents better than others depending on the title company you're using. Some of the title companies have done a good job of updating their home books in the recent year or two, and some have not updated. So you'll want to find out from your title company, from your title rep, what they provide and what you'll be paying for, but they can have that delivered to the office or to your personal residence or to the home address prior to your open house so that you have that available inside the property for those people that want to come in and kind of thumb through information or data. They can have demographics, they can have schools and neighborhood information. They basically put together all of this information in the binder for you, and for about $12 to $15, it's nice to have on the counter so that somebody that wants to nibble on a little treat and sip a cup of coffee and glance at some information while they're waiting for you to talk with somebody else so that they can talk with you, it might be nice to have something there to review. So that's one option that I put together with the title company, and that doesn't cost much, and it's pretty easy if you plan ahead to have that ready to be available there. Or you have a copy of the CMA showing the values in the area. So you can see that your home price, hopefully if you've done a good job, and you've priced it slightly below what the market is bearing, and then the clients can see that the house down the street sold for $50,000 more or $100,000 more. In essence, you're doing the job for the buyer's agent for them. You're showing that you're the market expert because you've provided a CMA, and you just have that in the binder or you have that in your own personal binder so that people can flip through the comparable sales in the area right there at the countertop. So that's an idea that has worked really well. But while I'm talking about what to have available, don't make the mistake that I did my first year, which was to keep all the flyers in the box out front. If you have flyers in the box out front, or you have a perma flyer like I still have, I will even go and unscrew the perma flyer off of the sign for the open house so that the people come into the property to get more information about the house. I don't want to have anything on the sign about price or photos about the inside or even marketing remarks. I want to draw as many people as I possibly can into the property rather than have them stand out by the sign. So pull all of the information. If you have a text writer, if you have information about the property, detach that information and bring it into the property, and then go back and put the information back out on the sign. My first year, I learned hard lessons, and that was one of the things I learned. I see people drive around a cul-de-sac, pick out a flyer, oh, the price is not what I thought, and drive away, when that property could have worked for that particular client by having them come into the property to see what it was all about, or to talk with the lender who had prepared information to help them qualify for that property. Okay, and then the other thing that to take in mind, I was never trained properly my first year in the business as well on how to host an open house. So I was just giving them information about the property. You know, they come through and I give them a flyer, and they already had a flyer because I grabbed it from the sign. And I kind of follow them along the open house and, you know, tell them about all of the cool features, even though the information was right there on the flyer. And then they would walk away. And I realized after the first year that it was done improperly. So you're going to want to do it differently. Instead of giving them a flyer at the door, like I did, or having the flyer available at the sign, take all the flyers down. Don't give them a flyer. In fact, tuck them away. Don't even give them a flyer. Let the lender give them the flyer that has all the information about how to qualify on the financing, but don't give them a flyer. Instead, have a notebook or have your phone or your tablet ready to go so you can take notes about this particular client. And ask them, the number one question that I changed was, you know, they'll say, do you have a flyer or do you have something about the property? And just say, you know, actually, we don't, but what can I tell you about the property? What can I tell you about the home? That would be my number one lead-in question that I would do. And they'd say, well, how much square footage is this? Or how much, you know, is it going for? How much is it listed for? And I would just, again, treat them like a buyer, a prospective buyer. So even though they may have a buyer's agent with them, just ask them those questions and give them answers related to the property, because you know about the property. You've researched the property. You know what's sold around the home. You're the property expert, and they're relying on you instead of relying and looking down at the flyer. And you're building trust when you answer questions. So ask them questions, and then you answer questions, and that's building trust as you show the property, tour them through the property. Sometimes the open houses will get really busy, where people will be touring upstairs and downstairs and all over. That's why it's important to have either another person help you, or another colleague help you, or an assistant help you, or a lender help you. But you may want to be that person near the kitchen where they sign in to be the person that kind of checks in and makes sure you get them to sign in and answer any questions they have about the property. So make sure that you get them to sign in. I never wanted to do an open house where there wasn't a sign-in sheet. You also want to have 3 sign-in sheets filled out before you start the open house. Don't just have a sign-in sheet and then the first person that shows up is like the first person. You want to make sure that you have 3 sign-in sheets filled out before that first person shows up at the door. And make sure that you let the buyers know that is, you know, if they don't sign in, that that's the seller's request, and you can turn people away. They would be seen as trespassers if they didn't fill out the fill-in sheets. Make the sign-in sheet very simple. All we're looking for is a name, phone number, email address, and we also want to have some sort of feedback, you know, on the price and the condition. That's all that's really on the feedback sheet. And then have that feedback sheet available so that you can give that to the seller when they return home and make that a requirement for entry into the property. So there is no key box. You know, the key box is an open house. So you do want to have some sort of point or reference point to verify this information or to give the seller so they know who has been through their property. If it's an agent touring with the client, still have the client sign in on the sign-in sheet and also get and collect the buyer's agent's card so that you have that for your records as well. It's interesting to track that. Some people, they get, when you follow up with the agent and you follow up with the client after the open house, it's interesting the kind of reaction you may get because they provide you that information on the sign-in sheet and you know that they're also working with an agent, but you have the ability to just give them information because they provide you with their email address. So you have that ability if they sign in and sign in on the sheet. The other thing to do a good job of once you get done with the open house is to follow up within 72 hours. So all of those sheets that you have, hopefully you have 40 or 50, you have made it a priority to follow up with all of the people that showed, that came through your open house, to give them information about the property and to find out if this is not the property that you desire. You know, please let me know if there's something else I should be looking for you so that I can properly notify you if I have another listing coming on in the area. We may be able to find a match. So be very proactive at that and following up with those people within 72 hours. If you don't follow up within 72 hours, most likely you've lost that potential lead or that client. So they need to be followed up with. And you may want to create some questions to ask them and let them know that the inventory is tight. Thank you so much for touring my property. And please provide me with any more details so that if I hear about another listing going on in the marketplace, even before it hits the MLS, I can contact you immediately so you can have an opportunity at this property. You can say those types of things in your correspondence because inventory is tight, and sometimes you're able to connect a buyer with a seller that's not even on the MLS. It's off market. But you have to get enough information to find out how to connect them with that particular property owner. And again, you have just door knocked how many homes? Maybe up to 20 or 30, like I've done before. So you may have some insider information about other properties in the neighborhood that might be of interest to this prospective buyer. If they're not quick enough to move, maybe their financing is not ready. They haven't, you know, they started their home search by attending your open house. You'll have some insider knowledge because you might know about a neighbor or two that also might be listing the property, and you can put them in touch with them, and also, in a way, double end the commission. So, an expectation you should have when you're doing open houses is that you should be able to, if you're doing a well-attended open house and you've done a good job with your promotion, there's no reason to expect that you would not get at least 1 to 3 buyer leads from your promotion of your open house, whether it be at the day of the event or the follow-up that you do for the open house or the door knocking that you do. You should be able to find 1 to 3 buyers for that particular listing, and that should be your goal. Hopefully you've taken some notes here tonight. If you have any further questions or you're still struggling about what to say when people come through and tour, I'd be happy to spend some time one-on-one with you. But you should be able to have enough information. We have enough promotion, enough relationships we've created with these title companies and lenders. There's no reason why you should feel like alone in these efforts. You should have enough, you know, enough information and enough materials and promotion and ideas to be able to pull off an ultimate open house the very first time with the support of all of us in the office and with the support of the lender or the title company. There's plenty of people that are willing to support you in these efforts because we found very good success recently with ultimate open houses. Open houses that are not just 1 or 2 A-frames or tent signs put up in front of the house. It's obviously a lot more effort and a lot more promotion, but obviously there's better results when you do that. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Have a great evening and a great week. We'll catch you next Monday for the next session. I'm going to be talking about a strategy of how to use the InfoSparks and the statistics link on the MLS. So if you guys haven't taken the time to do the training and know how to apply that information into your business, I'm going to be going over that next week. So jump on next week for that call and have a great week. Talk to you soon.